Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Arthur Motes, presented by Parks Casino. Must be 21 gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You would be one of those guys who was in the room.
Yeah, I guess I do fall into that category, man. Because this is all my success and accomplishments and all that stuff, right?
You were in the room, therefore your opinion means
more. Congratulations, Arthur, on all your success.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Hold on. Before we even dive into that, I love that Tomlin played dumb about the specific thing Jim was asking about, as if he doesn't have rabbit ears.
What are these comments you're referring to? Whose job
would it be over there? Would it be Burt's job to tell him, hey, Ryan Clark went on ESPN today and said this?
You don't think they have TVs on?
Here's the part where I could believe. Tomlin is so wrapped up in his work, he's not sitting there watching. What show is that? Get Up? What is that show that Clark's on now?
Yeah, it's Get Up on ESPN in the morning with Greenberg.
Right, because, Greenberg's at the end of that rant going like, ugh.
Yes.
I could imagine that Mike Tomlin is not focused on watching Get Up, so I would imagine that somebody within that, labyrinthine Steelers organizational flow chart is tasked with watching all the stuff that's said about the team, listening to all the stuff that's said about the team, like every criticism I've ever levied or you've ever levied, and reporting back with the particularly juicy nuggets so they are aware of them. So I am pretty sure Mike Tomlin knew that Ryan Clark had aired out this current team, and the fact that he agreed with it publicly is unbelievable to me.
Do you agree with it?
What? Coach Tomlin agreeing with the statement?
No, just the statement that, these are not the Steelers that I was a part of. These are not the Steelers that I played with, that whole narrative. Where does Arthur Motes as a former Steeler come down on that?
I get that narrative. I guess for me it's different because – I can see the older generation, right? And for me, I don't classify myself as an older generation. I played with Debo, but I didn't play, 10 plus years. I got 4 years to the back end of that thing, so I don't even consider myself a part of them. But I don't consider myself part of the new generation either, so I'm kind of in the middle, somewhere nice and sweet.
Yep.
But as a whole, man, I could definitely see, the things that they're talking about, the lack of physicality, the lack of just when we talk about Steelers football, it's never been mentioned with the same breath as soft or lacking physicality. And the fact that you're watching teams beat you in manners that scream physicality or the lack thereof, yes, that's why they make these statements. And that's why even Coach T, even though he might not want to publicly, say those words verbatim, that's the other reason why he probably doesn't disagree with what those guys are saying, because the message is very true. I mean, and those guys in the locker room, they don't have to hear it from us. They cut that tape on themselves and they can see, oh, this guy's blowing me off the ball. That's not good. Me missing this tackle right here, that's not good. It doesn't take an analyst saying it. It doesn't take an alumni of the organization saying it. If you're a professional like those guys are and how they should be operating, you cut that tape on and there is nothing new being said that you haven't seen, and not just this game either.
Yeah.
Because that's the other part, right? We act as if, oh, man, the sky is falling because this week, Joe Mixon ran for a record-breaking performance. This week,
it was building towards
we got this. Blew up. But it was like, man, what about what Detroit was able to do on the ground? What about what the
LA.
Seahawks? No, not even L.A. Think about the Seahawks.
Second
it was
half.
A time where Alex Collins looked like Jim Brown out there.
Yep.
But we get out of those games with wins, and what do they say when we critique it, when we criticize it? Y'all are being negative. Y'all are just hating. But now when it's finally come to a head and it's like, man, look, the things that we've been talking about that have been showing up, well, now they showed up versus a more, formidable opponent, and they whooped you. Well, now you have to chew on it. Now you have to see that, man, what y'all have been doing isn't acceptable. The status quo isn't good enough. And to me, I think with Coach Tomlin just kind of agreeing with the comments that have been made by former players, I think that's ultimately what he's agreeing with because of that. I mean, it's not hard to see.
I also, it's funny, like you say, the players now cut the tape and see it and they know it. I think the thing that a guy, I don't want to put like thoughts or you know, implied meaning on what Ryan Clark said or like James Harrison agreed with because he kind of boosted it up on Twitter some more. It's like when you see that.
What do you say,
though,
preach?
Yeah. It's like when you, if you're a player who's on this team seeing all that stuff, like, does it piss you off? Do you care?
It should.
But because it keeps happening is why I have to ask that. Like, I wonder how mad these guys are.
And that's why at the beginning of my statement, I said I'm not all the way with the old group. I'm not all the way with the new group. Because, yeah, I shared the locker room with some of these guys that are there. But the guys that I shared the locker room with, I know how they'll respond to this. When I think of Cam Hayward, when I think of Joe Hayden, when I think of TJ Watt, I'm not worried about those guys. Mm-hmm. But when we go down the list of some of these other younger players who are still in very prominent roles offensively and defensively, well, I never shared the locker room with them. I can't attest to how they respond to this. I can't attest to, okay, if a guy continues to play bad, how he's going to respond when we keep criticizing him.
Pony, would you say?
When Coach Tomlin keeps speaking on a certain player as well, it's just like, I don't know those dudes like that.
I mean, to me, there are four players on that defense who are not being spoken about here. When like Ryan Clark says what he says, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, I'll say even Minka, because he mentioned Minka by name, says he has to play fifth linebacker. Mm-hmm. And if Hayden was out there, he'd be saying Joe Hayden too, right?
Those guys are all veterans.
You agree with me though on that?
Yeah, I do.
Those guys are all business. Watt's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame if his trajectory, you know, Hayward's going to get looks. Mm-hmm. Hayden's one of the better corners of his era.
Yep.
And Minka, when he's able to do what he's supposed to do, is one of the better playmaking safeties in the entire league.
When Minka's having to play fifth linebacker.
To me, that is not about those four guys. Mm-hmm. I think Roethlisberger's been through the battles enough that a criticism of the offense is not about him anymore.
No, Clark's talking about the defense he played on. He's leaving the offense totally out of this.
So he's talking about, let's be honest, he's talking about Devin Bush. Mm-hmm. He's talking, I think, generally about the defensive lineman not named Cam Hayward who are getting blown off the ball. I even think maybe Schobert's getting put in there a little bit because Schobert's not like a guy that has commanded an insane amount of respect. And he only looks better being next to Devin Bush, let's be honest. I think Edmonds is getting called out. At least Edmonds tried to hit Mixon, but he still bounced off.
Yeah.
And Mixon just was absolutely, you know, not bothered by that at all. I think it's those guys. Or even a James Pierre, who's just, you know, cornerback is not like physical in the way we think about it, but T. Higgins out-physicaled him on that touchdown. That was a humiliating play.
Yeah, but even Burrow you're saying Minka gets left out.
Oh, Minka
even
gets,
Burrow
he clowned Minka
is
in the open
him
field.
On that touchdown run.
He
it's
did.
A quarterback
Absolutely.
On a safety. If Carson Palmer did that to Ryan Clark,
face mask
my
to face
head
mask.
Would have exploded if that play happened the same exact way. Arthur, why do you
the Steelers safety ran over Carson Palmer in that exact same end zone to score a touchdown.
Why do you think it is that this is the element of football that the former Steelers players are like most offended by?
Because,
like, it's the manner in which they're getting beat that seems to...
This is the reason, man. The legacy, when you think of playing for the Steelers defense, when you think of Steelers defense, you think of physicality, you think of nastiness, fear, like people would fear these defenses that showed up out there. And as a person that came from another organization, man, when I got here, that's what I kept thinking. I want to be a part of it. I want to make sure that we uphold that legacy as well. You don't want to be the group where it's like, everybody was good except those years. Man, y'all were trash. You didn't want to be a part of that group. So that was kind of like our mindset. But like I said, with this new generation, the newer guys that are there right now, maybe they haven't bought into it to the same extent. Maybe to them, they look at him as, hey, man, that's the pass we're creating.
Who
our
was
own
in
name.
Charge of, like, instilling that to you when you played? Was it the other players in the locker room, or did it come from
the
coaches?
Honestly, it was more organic.
Yep.
I know for me, I just took it on just because of the respect as a football player, like a purist of the game. I've always respected Steelers defense, even when I wasn't a fan of it. I mean, anyone that knows me, I was a diehard Cowboys fan. My favorite player growing up was Ray Lewis. I was anti-Steelers. But we always respected their defense because they were physical, they were smart, they flew around, and you hated to play them.
Yep.
That was always the legacy. So now the reason why you're talking about alumni being offended by the performances that are out there is because you're watching it and you're saying to yourselves, man, it's one thing if you just got better athletes. It's one thing if you just throwing the ball like crazy, man, we don't mind. You could score 70 all through the air. We'll get that another time. But to see how they are just running on them defensively, that's an issue. It's disrespectful. I mean, you think with Ryan Clark and his generation, right? Because even mine, we were still, like, we had our moments, but we weren't to that. Like, you think about that 08 defense where, man, they're not even allowing 100-yard rushers. Teams aren't even rushing 60 yards.
There's a bloodbath every game.
So just
Clark
imagine,
on McGahee.
So just imagine you go from that to where it is now, where you're talking three games in a row, over 100 yards on the ground, and not just 100 yards, like almost taking your heart out style runs. Like, that's
Chris made
part,
a very good
man.
Point yesterday, I thought, in terms of like what a team running the ball on you at will constitutes and means versus if somebody's airing the ball out and scoring points.
It's night
points.
And day. It's night and day, man. When a team is running the ball on you, man, that is just like I'm talking to man. You cannot stop me. I'm going to take your phone and you just got to sit there and smile and like it.
Football's an alpha.
That's what it is. Like, seriously, whereas if I'm throwing it on you, I tricked you a little bit. I might have was able to, you know, oh, it was
finesse.
A lucky this. It's finesse, absolutely. That's the difference, and that's why it's like as a defender – man, I'd rather you throw the ball on me every day than you physically run it down my throat and I can't do anything to stop it. Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing, man.
I mean, Pony said yesterday the Steelers defense, win or lose, used to take a pound of flesh no matter what. They'd get their toll.
Absolutely.
You might beat them, but you weren't going to come out of that game feeling
not
good.
Not at all. Not at all.
And I said the example I used was, like, obviously Tomlin has had worse defensive performances. He gave up his defense. I think LeBeau was still there for this one, yeah. Gave up 55 to the Patriots.
Yeah, that was LeBeau's defense.
610 yards in 2013. It was a game that was actually close for about three quarters, and then they gave up 28 points in the fourth, and Brady was loving putting it on him, right?
Whew.
But that is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and whoever was the OC back then in New England out-scheming you. They just had your number. They always could beat Dick LeBeau. Football, we have Kenny Pickett on every Wednesday. He said it's a tough game played by tough guys. You know this better than most. It is an alpha male kind of game.
No question.
When somebody is running the ball, it is a bunch of alpha males on one side turning the other guys into, to use the term, betas.
Yeah.
I want to play devil's advocate on one thing. I don't agree with this, but I just want to present this other side. Donnie Football is here, ladies and gentlemen.
So you're going to put this on Donnie?
He's producing today's show.
He's throwing Donnie under the bus.
Donnie Football played at Greensburg-Salem High School, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greensburg-Salem had to play Thomas Jefferson.
Chur pack.
You were a guy in the trenches. Right? You could have all the heart in the world, all the guts, all the guile. The dude across the line from you could kick your ass. No offense. Right? I mean,
He was if he was a Thomas Jefferson kid, he was probably getting at least looks D1.
So
bigger, stronger, more than likely.
Can you respond to the Steelers fan mindset?
Mm-hmm.
That is, we've got Henry Mondu and Chris Wormley and Isaiah Loudermilk out there, these guys are going to get run over. It's not a matter of effort or how much they care. It's just that these guys aren't good enough.
Okay. What about the guys that are good enough then on paper? Your Devin Bushes, your Joe Schobers, your TJ Watches, your Alex Highsmiths, your Cam Haywards. That's just, you know, how I always viewed it. If you're going to point out two or three guys that may be inadequate, every defense, every offense in this league, you're going to have two to three guys where you're like, hey, these are the potential weak links right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you firsthand, even when I watch guys like Wormley, who, by the way, did have a big sack on the goal line in that game, he plays well. When I watch Henry Mondo, he plays well. The difference, like I said, is always with those three guys in particular versus your Alu-Alus and your Tuits. With the three guys that we're talking about right now, they're going to give you good play. It's always going to be satisfactory, but they're not going to have the exceptional plays, right? Whereas with your guys like Tuitt, your guys like Alu-Alu, they're going to be able to give you the above and the beyond. So with that whole narrative of, well, man, these guys just are so outmatched, I personally don't believe that. Now, when you start going past that group, that's different. Because we have seen some other guys past that group where you're just like, man, I didn't know he was on the roster all the way here.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different conversation. But those three guys you named, I mean, we can point to times this year and last year where they've given us critical snaps and made big plays during those games.
Mm-hmm.
So that narrative, to me, is still a form of seeking comfort. It's still a form of, you know, moving away from what actually needs to be done, which is, yo, you guys just got to be more physical. You got to play more consistent. I mean, you do it at times, but in the NFL, you got to do it every single time, especially as a defender in the NFL.
Man, the crystallized, like, point I take away from that game, based on everything Arthur just said, based on what, like, Ryan said, Brian McFadden said it too. I mean, there's a cornerback who was a physical guy who was a big-time player on a team that won a Super Bowl, right? He got thrown right into it, is, you know, you had them get accused of quitting by Tyler Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
that one, I don't think you'd ever have that said about a Ryan Clark team, Steelers team back then. But had it been said, that next game, whether people would have been squeamish about it, I'm serious about this, though, that next 100%. Game would have been a very predictable bloodbath.
Somebody would be going to sleep.
Like Tyler, somebody on the Steelers would be trying to put Tyler Boyd in the hospital.
And instead, Joe Mixon's like...
They came out and... Well, Aditi,
laughing at that.
Aditi, I mean, you told us yesterday.
When we talked on Friday, we were breaking down the whole, man, what's your mindset going to those games? And you heard what the sentiment was. It should have been like what you were just referring to.
We're going
to
kill these guys, basically.
Right. And that was my full understanding. Like, that should be it. And anything less, I'm going to be baffled. And here we are on Tuesday, and I'm baffled because you see that performance, and it looked like Cincinnati was the ones that felt disrespected.
You know what Aditi said to us yesterday? That Joe Mixon said to her before the game, bet us by a lot. Mm. Like, there was no fear factor, nothing. Hey. We're going to go out there. We are going to little brother these guys, and they can't do a damn thing to stop it, and they were right.
Well, and I will say this, though, roster-wise, I mean, they have improved. They are a good team. Inconsistent, but still a good team.
Oh, I think they have the best roster right now in the division, health-wise and everything else.
But I do think, though, part of the reason why people react in the way that they are here in Pittsburgh is because they don't believe in that Bengals team. They didn't think they were a good team, but it's like you watch them on tape. They're good. Mm-hmm. The games that they struggle is because they're self-inflicted turnovers, some of the stuff that Joe Burrow was doing. But as a whole, they are a good team, a complete team, and the flaws that they had a year ago in terms of not being able to rush the passer, in terms of some of the secondary stuff, they've done some things to improve it, pass protection being one of them, absolutely.
That's what an actual improving offensive line looks like, frankly.
100%. They did what they needed to do to either draft a guy early on or bring in guys through agency, but either way, they shored up one of their biggest weaknesses from a year ago. And then they turned around and said, well, you know, we need to be able to rush the passer as well without blitzing. And you saw the two guys that they have over there, Hendrickson and Hubbard, and what they've been doing this season also. So for the people that look at this loss and they're like, man, we were just, you know, I just can't believe it's so embarrassing. It's like, well, no. You shouldn't be, you know, surprised by it because they were good enough to beat us and beat us handedly. The embarrassing part was just the manner in which it happened in terms of, like you said, that physical part of it. That's the part where it's just like, that can't be.
You know what ticks me off is that one of the guys who I think is cut from the Ryan Clark, James Harrison, we're not going to back down from people mindset. Mm-hmm. They said, you can go play for the Bengals. We don't care.
Yeah.
Hilton's that type of player. Mm-hmm. I mean, say what you will about his strengths and weaknesses. Is he the best in coverage? Is he a little bit undersized? All true.
He's a dog.
But he's out there to kick your ass.
Every snap.
And they just said, nah, we're every good snap, on that.
Man. He looked pretty good in coverage right before the half.
But you, like that's a type. I would think if I'm Keith Butler and Mike Tomlin, you did some things as a player. I think off the field, like your professionalism that made you more attractive to the organization.
No,
would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with you.
And so I think Hilton, we like what he stands for.
Yes.
And I'm just surprised they were so willing to say goodbye.
I think we could all agree the way that they handled the finances in terms of defensive personnel groupings this offseason probably wasn't the best in terms of how the Steven Nelson situation played out, in terms of Mike Hilton, right? In terms of even the handling of Vince Williams. That doesn't even include the David DeCastro situation.
Yep.
It just feels like the plan, it really wasn't one in place. It was kind of we're making it up as we go along, and you kind of fall into these traps where you might have said on paper, well, yeah, we'll let Hilton leave. We'll pay Cam Sutton way less than what Mike Hilton got, thinking that they would be comparable in terms of the productivity or that he could step out and do what Steven Nelson was doing as well for a lot cheaper. They guessed wrong, though.
We have this diamond in the rough, James Pierre waiting in the wings. You know where they prioritize toughness, if we're going to be honest about their offseason moves? Say what you will about the Juju social media stuff. He is a tough SOB on the football field. He is a tough MF-er.
Mm-hmm. Look what he did at bottom.
Perfect. The way he just tried to get every last yard. I think that guy is one of the toughest dudes on this roster. They brought him back when they probably didn't need him because they wanted, a luxury item, I guess? Yeah. A security? Because Ben loved him, and I understand why. But because you bring him back, all those other guys
walk out.
Well,
you rob Peter to pay Paul is what you do there.
Because you know why, though? That speaks to me. Oh, we have a defensive coach. Mm-hmm. We have spent a lot of picks on the defensive side. We are defensively great. Mm-hmm. We'll make that side work. We need to help the offense. And they have guessed dramatically wrong.
Arthur, you can comment on this better than any of us can because you've been in these locker rooms and you know about team morale and chemistry and stuff. I just wonder when two guys who you thought were going to be a part of your defense in the summer Tua and Vince Williams mm-hmm. just, they're gone. You know, and like they're, I'm not even speaking to so much like their presence on the field. No, it's like they're
yeah, it feels weird, man. That's the part, though, of the business. You're going to have guys that you've played with, guys that, you know, you've had impactful life moments with, that one day they're there and then they're gone. And you have to just have the mental fortitude to play through it. When you talk about a new guy coming in, you can't view him as, man, you here to replace my boy, my brother. No, you got to look at it as you're my new brother. You're right. Part of the family now.
But it's interesting with those two guys, they prioritize something else mm-hmm. over playing football for the Steelers this year. And I'm not saying that to be like critical of either one. It's just if I were a part of a team coming back and it's like, this has been 39, we're going to go for it one last time. And then those guys are like, you know what?
Vince, you got to think. It wasn't he wanted to retire. That came after what?
That's true.
They released them first because they wanted to play the game
of
what we just said. Rob Peter to pay Paul.
That's a good point.
Okay, we think Spillane can do this. He's a lot cheaper, so we'll release you. Test the market. Have fun. But, hey, come back for the cheap. And it's like, well, why would I come back to the similar role or, you know,
a lesser role,
and you're going to take away a ton more of my money?
That's a good point.
I would love to be on here complaining after a loss to the Bengals, like that was 31-17, and say, man, Vince Williams hit Mixon like a dump truck, but they suckered him in on play action too many times and hit Uzomah over the middle. I would much, much rather be whining about that than about them getting emasculated, really. That was, to me, I'll say it again to you, Arthur, because I said it to Andrew yesterday, I've tweeted it. That felt like, in many ways, for them being the bullies so mm-hmm. long of the AFC North, I know it didn't apply to Baltimore, mutual respect. I know the Bengals have been good at times under Marvin Lewis. That game Sunday felt like the end of the era of them as the big, bad
changing
bullies
of a guard,
on the block.
Right?
That's like what Hilton said.
They are never going to get feared and looked at again the same way until mm-hmm. they build it back up on their own.
You didn't actually go to Cincinnati and watch that up close, did you?
I did not, actually. Thank God. I had to hear it twice, though. I listened to it in the
car.
That's
like a Spidey sense maneuver, though.
No, it sucked because I had to listen to it live in the car, listen to the radio part, which sucked. Then I had to turn around and watch it again on tape to see was it just as bad, and it was actually a lot worse.
What was your tweet that went viral about the Steelers today? You said
Uh-oh.
Something about
it. Wait, our guy has a viral tweet?
But people are very interested
in
it.
It didn't really go viral. I mean, it got a decent following. All right. All I said was, I'm bothered by the fact that the Steelers of my childhood hate the Steelers of my adulthood, and I can't blame any of them for a second.
Oh, man.
Man.
Wow.
I like that, man.
That is poignant, isn't it?
It's
from
like
Donnie
that,
Football?
Though, man. It's like
Donnie,
that.
Donnie Philosopher guy?
I mean, and that's just a product of being a Steeler, right? Yep. I mean, the legacy, the amount of winning, the amount of big games, clutch performances, you build this legacy up where it matters, where a game at any time of the season matters to the point where people's days, weeks are ruined. I mean, you won it that way, man.
I never understood fully the way 70s Steelers fans talked about that team like glowingly and mm-hmm. kind of I thought it was ridiculous at times, and maybe it's still a little different because these guys are very much more recently retired. Yeah. Now I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, now I understand it.
It's
and
different,
I
man.
I will say that whole Steeler way on the field mm-hmm. wasn't BS. Like, when you hear Ryan Clark talk that way and you hear how mad James Harrison is, a guy who walked out on them because he was mad at them, right?
Absolutely.
When you see how mad they still get about it, you know it wasn't just lip service and it meant something.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. What's on tap is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Over 500 beers, Pittsburgh's premier craft beer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.